Hello, this is Janet Meshagan Watson for Voice of the Last Days Ministry, and this is your wake-up call. The Lord is doing a great thing in the earth. Well, we're only one day into our new topic, life and death. And as you will remember, this is taken out of a lesson that the Lord gave me that I had the honor of presenting at the memorial service for a 96-year-old woman that passed away. And what is so special about this is just a few days before she passed away, she received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, had been of another faith all of her life that doesn't recognize Jesus Christ. And she received Him, and then just a few days later, went to be with Him. And the reason that we all need to hear these things is we need to understand, how can we say that a person that dies is in a better place? How can we say that they're in heaven? How can we say that we're going to heaven? Why do we need a Savior to be able to go to heaven? And this is the scriptures that the Lord gave me to help you understand that. Not only yourself, maybe you can share this with others. I want to begin today by talking about four different types of death, and we won't get to all of them today. Natural death, spiritual death, death to self, and the second death. Now, natural death, we all know, is where we put off this flesh vehicle. Everyone that is born, as the Bible said, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. The fact is, we live in a fallen, corruptible vehicle. And if Jesus doesn't come before, when our body gets too tired, we're going to lay it down and we're going to step out of it. There's never any downtime. There's never any being unconscious. It is just going from one type of life to another. But we all understand what natural death is. So I want to begin with spiritual death. Why do we need a Savior? Why can't we just believe that everybody's going to heaven? Or everybody's going to spend eternity with God? Well, we were all born into sin because of spiritual death. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 says, I'll read all of that later, but right now it's just through about verse 3. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead means something. It wasn't a metaphor. We were spiritually dead, cut off from God, cut off from the dynamo of His power, now sentenced to death. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, this gives an answer, and not just here, but here certainly, to those that say, well, Christ died for all, so now all are brought to life in the spirit. That's not true, because it says here that the sons of disobedience now live according to the prince of the power of the air. So they're still conducting themselves cut off from God. So the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, or children of God's wrath, just as the others. In other words, born into sin, all there was for us was wrath, punishment, judgment, not because God is angry and mad, but because He is just. And we were cut off possessions of the devil until Jesus Christ made a way of escape. So we were dead. He says, and you He made alive who were dead, dead, dead. That's why not everybody say, well, everybody's going to go to heaven. No. If you're still dead in trespasses and sin, and you have not received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, there's no life with God in eternity. Romans 7, beginning with verse 15. What was this spiritual death like? What is life like apart from Jesus Christ? To what were we sentenced? What kind of living was ahead for us? Some are still living this way. The Apostle Paul describes this by saying, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then, I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. In other words, the law is right, I'm wrong. I shouldn't be doing these things. He says, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. He said, the point came, and he's describing what life was like under the law only, without Jesus Christ. He said, once you know what is right, and in your mind you're wanting to do what is right, there's a part of you that's wanting to do right, but that sin nature is doing something else. He says, but now, let me start back with 16. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. He said, in other words, in my mind now I want to do what is right. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. In other words, again, you've heard the law, you've seen the way, you want to do differently, but you don't have any power to do it. What's causing that? The sin law that's in you. The carnal nature, the fallen nature. And then he says in verse 21, I find then a law, or a way of being. Something that you can always know that this is the way it's going to go. A principle. I find in the law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, there's nothing worse than having an enemy within. There's nothing worse than always being with the one that's giving you a hard time. There's nothing worse than not even trusting yourself. Oh, but Jesus Christ came to set us free from that. And he illustrates the terrible in-between rock and a hard place, as we put it, situation that you're in when you know to do good, but you have no ability to do it. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, the relief comes through Jesus Christ. He said, so then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, so that if I'm living according to the renewed spirit, I'm serving God, but the flesh still lives according to the law of sin. So that even the one that's been set free, in other words, you now have the ability through Jesus Christ. He is doing the work in you. The Holy Spirit is transforming you. There's still the lust or the pulling and the desires of the flesh. It's just now through the Holy Spirit you have the ability to do what He calls you to do. Now, salvation doesn't come because you've done the right thing. Salvation comes because you've recognized that you need a Savior and that you have one, and that is Jesus Christ. And you do what we're going to talk about in a moment. You die to self. So now you've been brought to life in the spirit just because He loves us and He died for us. But then of course now we live and walk in the spirit as He lived and walked in the spirit. So here comes Romans 8:1 that you're probably very familiar with. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or the principles of what life is like in Jesus Christ, the way of being has trumped, taken over above the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. In other words, the law only told them what they needed to do, what they shouldn't do, but gave them no ability to maintain obedience in it. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. How did He condemn sin in the flesh? Because He did no sin. As I've told you before, from the moment you know, we're born as fallen, but when the devil really has a right over us is from the moment we know to do good and don't do it, or from the moment we know not to do something and we do it, then we have committed that sin, and now it just rules over us. But Christ, from the moment he knew, he didn't do anything that he shouldn't do, and he did all that he should. Oh, he was the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice. And then he took the sin of the world upon himself, died, but then went to hell, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and arose victorious. And as we talked about last time, was the first one, the first fruits. In other words, he's come forth now that we can come forth into spiritual life. And oh, we have the assurance of being able to live in eternity with him. John 5:24-25. Jesus said, "I assure you, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. And I assure you that the time is coming, in fact it is here, when the dead will hear my voice and the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live." Oh, because of Jesus Christ, we're no longer spiritually dead. We accept him as Savior and Lord, and we can be certain that we will make heaven our home, and that now, as we live in this earth, he can, the old song was, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." Jesus Christ can walk with you and talk with you. Do you want that today? Do you want to know that he's your friend? Do you want to know that you've passed from death into life? If you've accepted him as Savior and Lord, you can know that you're going to spend eternity with him. But for some of us, we forget to lay the burden down, and we forget to daily ask him to direct us and guide us and lead us and uphold us. Let's do that right now. Father, I thank you that your word is true, that it is in you that we live and move and have our being, and above you there is none other. Thank you, Lord, that while we were yet dead in our trespasses and sins, you came and you made a way for us to escape the bondage of our own making, Lord, so that we can live a life of freedom in you, because the devourer has been rebuked and exiled through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And it is in his name and authority and under his blood that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, if you find yourself never being able to do what you know you ought to do, you need to re-up with Jesus Christ, because his power in you will help you to do what you need to do, and he'll keep you from the snare of the enemy. Remember this, that I am praying for you.